From the latest hip-hop beats to social issues that cripple the black community, all from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
And now your host, Rita.
Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio, powered by Black Ivy Media. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host, and as always, I hope you guys are striving, thriving, and surviving in these streets. So happy Sunday, everyone, and happy early Thanksgiving. We are literally in Thanksgiving week. I know so many of you are excited to be getting together with family and friends over good food. Last year, Thanksgiving was really non-existent because we were, even though we're still in the middle of a global pandemic, but last year we can all say that it was crazy. We were on lockdown, in lockdown. Nothing was really happening, right? But it seems that this year things have taken, you know, I don't know, a more positive direction. And people are more comfortable hanging out and being around family and friends. I think I had read an article earlier this week that said that the airports were literally projected to be just as busy as 2019. So it looks like we're getting back to normal, at least travel wise, when it comes for the holidays. I will say, though, that even though the world is opening up and, you know, people feel comfortable, people feel safe, you know, COVID-19 is still a threat. COVID is still out here. People are still dying of COVID and we need to be careful. So a lot of us are going to be with elderly parents, grandparents, relatives, immunocompromised, you know, people, you know, let's be safe, right? I know that for my family, you know, we have a get together coming up and everyone is going to get, you know, COVID tested. We're going to have our COVID tests prior to getting together as a family. And I know that there's a lot of hesitancy around that. And people are like, oh, I'm vaccinated, so I'm fine. But, you know, what I will say is this: do not feel ashamed. Do not be afraid to set boundaries and protocols for your family, right? Because at the end of the day, you have to keep your safety. You have to keep the safety of your children and your parents at the forefront of anything. So although we do want to be out here celebrating and being in each other's presence, there's nothing wrong with that. But let's be prudent. Let's be careful and let's be safe. The last thing we want is to, you know, annihilate family members during the holidays because we didn't want to get tested and we wanted to be out here in these streets, you know, being free. So let's just be really, really careful and mindful about that during this Thanksgiving season. Now, normally I would have had a Thanksgiving clapback episode to prepare you guys for, you know, the overly intrusive questions and remarks and unnecessary comments that are usually shared at the Thanksgiving table. But I'm really hoping that this year we, as a people, as a culture, as a family, will focus on gratitude and just focus on, you know, all the positive things that have happened this year and just be gracious and grateful for all that we have overcome, right? Because we are alive. There are so many people who should have been here that are not here. We have lost a lot in these last 2 years, you know, whether it was through COVID or just, you know, just through natural loss, right? We have lost a lot. And there are many people who are not able to see this Thanksgiving, to see this holiday season. And so we have so much to be grateful for. Many of us were unemployed and now we're gainfully employed. You know, many of us, you know, our kids are doing well. Our parents are still alive. So we have so much to be grateful for. So let's just keep that at the forefront. So this episode today is not, you know, going to be like the rest. We're not going to have any preliminaries today because we do not have the time for that. Many weeks ago, I stated that I was looking for a co-host for According to RP, and a lot of you did submit your inquiries. A lot of you did, you know, invoke your interest in being part of this show and being part of the platform. So I thank you all who reached out with respect to that. We are interviewing, I guess, co-hosts, right? We are doing live shows with potential co-hosts. I think there's one more person that we're going to do a live test show with. But today we have Albin Boucher, who is going to be our first co-host test. And so it is up to you guys. His fate is in your hands. You guys have been listening to According to RP for about 4 years now. You know what the vibe is. So hopefully you guys will be able to, you know, keep it locked, tune in, and really see, look at the dynamics and see, you know, is this somebody that I could listen to, you know, on the According to RP show? Let me know what you guys think. Send me the DM, send the email at accordingtorp@gmail.com, and let me know what you think about Albin, aka the Commissioner Boucher. So with that being said, guys, we're moving on to the meat of the show, and hopefully you guys like it. All right. So everyone, as I made the announcement last week or maybe 2 weeks ago, we are testing out co-hosts. And so today we have Albin, is it Boucher? Albin Boucher? 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 How are you pronouncing it?
Boucher. Albin Boucher.
Okay. Albin Boucher.
Good. How you feel?
I'm good. So thank you for, I guess answering the call for the co-host.
Sure. I'm a big fan of the show, big fan of the brand. It's a pleasure to be here. Excited to see what we're gonna get into tonight.
Thanks. And so, as I also stated to the audience the last couple times on the show, is that they will be judging. We need you.
keep the comments rolling. I love to hear it. I want to hear feedback. Yeah, keep it going. Let's go.
If Albin is not acceptable, I need to see.
Let me know. Let me know. I think I'll be all right, though. I think I'll be good.
Yeah. I mean, in all fairness, though, and on full disclosure, I did do a test with Albin. We had a test conversation to see if there was any type of chemistry, to see if, you know, he could live up to the great challenge of, you know, ARP being a co-host. Because we had a monthly co-host, Paul Bromley. Shout out to Paul. I don't even know. Was it a year ago? You know, the pandemic definitely takes time away. So sometime in 2020, Paul was one of our monthly, I think 2019, 2020, I don't even know. But between 2019 and 2020, he was definitely one of our monthly co-hosts. And people loved him. So I don't know, Albin. I don't know.
Let's figure it out. Let's do it. Let's see. Well, he's not here now, so let's see what's going on.
He's not here now. You hear that, Paul?
There's a new sheriff. You know that? Let's do it. Let's figure it out. What's up?
All right. So I know offline we were talking about a lot of things that probably, you know, should have made the recording, but it did not. But it's okay. So you had sent me a couple of things on Instagram that I wanted to kind of touch on. One of them. Our dear, I don't know, he's not a friend of mine, he's not a friend of yours, but Sleepy Joe. Sleepy Joe Biden, President Sleepy Joe Biden, right? Many from the Republican camp, and I would say the Democratic camp, because I believe that this is true. Many are saying he has dementia. and yeah. I'm not here to put anything on anybody. But I think if anybody has eyes and ears, they can definitely tell that something is wrong with Sleepy Joe. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I mean, yeah, there definitely is something wrong with Sleepy Joe. But I've kind of been looking him up. He's always had like speech impediments, and he like lied about his grades in law school. And I mean, there's a lot of like things going on in his background. So, I mean, yeah, dementia wouldn't be too far off. And sometimes when you hear him talk, it's like, okay, where did that come from?
It's like he's, you know, this, like, for me, it's more than just a speech impediment, right? You can have a speech impediment, I get it, but it's like he's staring into space, he's trying to figure out, you know. So at one point I was like, I thought that he was trying to figure out where he was, like, where am I? So
sounds like me on Monday morning. Go to work. Like, oh, it's not Sunday, where am I? It's bright.
Yesterday I definitely thought it was Sunday at one point. So I get it. But Sleepy Joe.
I'm not, Yeah, I mean, I'm not impressed, man. These people, like, there's just like there's such a bigger objective. Like, it's about the bag, man. It's about the money at the end of the day. Like, the deals are already secured. Like, he has both aisles. He's greased the aisles. He's been in Congress for about 50 plus years now. He knows everybody. The deals are coming through. He just passed the infrastructure. Now he's going to sign the social net joint, which is going to be the largest ever for the social net. So he's doing it for the people. And we'll see. But he's not, you know, I think he's not targeting us. He's not helping us.
Who's us?
Black people, Haitian people, whichever. He's not helping us. And the biggest thing with us right now, and the only thing that matters, is the economics of us. It's the group economics. How are you going to help us? And just the fact that we can't even talk about reparations without getting a big, you know what I mean? We can't even talk about that when we talk about, you know, other people, other groups of people getting what they got after wars and things like that. So,
well, I mean, the Afghans are getting big resettlement money.
that's happening. And then they were talking about the families that are separated at the border getting $450K a person. Like, come on, man. It's a slap in the face. Like, what are you talking about? $450K a person? You know what I could do with $450? You know what anybody could do with $450?
Well, on. I mean, speaking of money, I mean, he has all that money to give out, but yet my student loans, your student loans, are still pop locking and dropping, you know, with, you know, Navient, right? Like, we were just talking about how January 31st, which is literally around the corner, well, Navient sold to some other company, but, you know, Sally Mae and them and her cousins are I get emails every day talking about automatic payments. And I'm just like,
I got beef with them. I'm looking for them.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm like, how dare you?
I mean, listen, we had to take out that money to finance our education. We didn't have any other means to do it. Mm-hmm. And I think honestly, we didn't know what we were doing. Let's just keep it a stack. I mean, the college loan was like a new thing. You know what I mean? It was like, oh, I can go to school and get a refund.
Right.
Sign me up. You know what I mean? And I'm 18 and I never like even managed bread. You know what I mean? So, yeah, of course I can get $5K. I can go and buy $2K. Yeah, of course I'm going to do it. It's you know, I'm not going to lie. We definitely have to take ownership on that as well. But
to an extent, though, but the interest rates on some of these loans are like freaking highway robbery, though. Like, it's one thing to borrow the money to further our education. I know there's a whole debate about that for those who, you know, either didn't go to school or didn't get comfortable.
Right. They want to throw shade. Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're throwing shade, right? You know what I'm saying? But I can throw shade too. But my thing is like, you know.
Yeah, they don't like that. They don't like that.
They're like, oh, nobody told you to go to fancy school or whatever the case is. But that's why I'm your boss. You know what I'm saying? That's why I'm your boss. Not everybody's an entrepreneur. I agree to an extent with, you know, those who, like, if you're an entrepreneur and you're making it, right, you're making your money, you can then have a conversation with me, right, to an extent. You could then maybe throw a stone or two. But I can't be your boss and then you're having this conversation. Like, our power dynamic is the reason why. Like, it explains why, you know what I'm saying? But neither here nor there. But I think that, you know, for those who are like, yeah, you know, student loans, we don't need to be paying people student loans. They made their decision or whatever the case is. But my thing is, forgiving student loans, do you know what that would do for the economy? I could then be a baller. I could then be out here making it rain. You know what I mean? At the supermarket, I can go to Target and not look at the price tag. Just throw it in my car.
Yes. Just throw all these tax dollars your way. I totally get it. It's a problem. And I think what makes it worse is that, like, yo, you could do it. Like, he has the authority. It's not like something where he has to, like, get it by the House, get it by the Senate. He can do it tomorrow. But I'm pretty sure there's a lot of different strings attached to that. But I'm like, yo, let the people get free, man. Like, yo, come on, man. Like, I need this.
And these are people who, again, have been contributing despite the weight of the loans and are planning to continue. I mean, it's not like you forgive our loans and then, like, we all just, like, stop spending in the economy. You know what I'm saying?
It's going to be puff back in 99.
It's going to be puff. Let me tell you, Target.
It's going to, like, puff.
If I don't have to get, like, you know, the reduced price, like, items, I can actually, like, get Velveeta.
Listen, I'm telling you, son, like if he forgives those loans and I just see how the credit score like
rises,
balloons. Well, of course, it's going to take a dip first. But like in a few months, it's going to like, oh, it's going to get crazy.
It's going to get crazy. You know, it's going to come to a rise again. Oh, yeah. I'm thinking like the macro level. The fact that I don't have to look at the brand to be like, this brand is cheaper than that brand.
Yeah.
You know, $2 difference and put it in my cart. Like,
I think the biggest thing is that it's holding us back financially. It's another roadblock on top of the other roadblocks. And if he could do this, he'll be helping a lot of people. I know I got a lot of flack for saying this, but I'll be very honest, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people will be honest too. If Donald Trump actually signed legislation to forgive all federal student loans, I'd become a Trump supporter.
Interesting.
Because he's helped me. That helped.
Okay.
The red hat is on. You know what I mean? I'm taking all the bullets. I'm cool with it. Like, because the credit score is like 950. I'm cool.
Right. Like,
I have no debt. I don't owe anybody nothing. Like, I will support you. I'll take all the arrows. I'm like, yeah, bring it. Cool, man. I get it. But the Tesla's outside. I'm out in a second. I'm gone.
So I hear where you're going with that. Many have said the same thing. Many was like, if Trump comes out and says, yo, forgiving student loans, you got me, right? Because like you said, he helped me. But then there's the question of, I guess, the utilitarianism of it all. There's the question of like, you know, part versus whole. So like he helped me, but Trump is good for me, but is he good for the whole, right? Like for me, it's financial. Like, yo, you pay off these loans, I'm good. But what about immigration reform? What about some of these other things that Trump has been very interesting on?
You're absolutely right. The only time that us voting in a group is only beneficial to the politician. Mm. So my vote is very singular, right? And it's only whenever I go into that booth, I'm voting for my affairs. It's only been a few times I've seen it. We tried to get Kamala in office, we got Barack in office. Well, like there was like a mass, like, you know, buses are coming to the hood, like buses, caravans, let's go vote. We get them in the office and then nothing happens. And I've just been seeing this cycle happen since 08. Since I'm talking about Barack was president. I went to the newsstand, can't find a newspaper. Every single newspaper is gone. Everybody's celebrating, but we're still in the same situation. Now a person comes along who's a jerk, who hates people, but he says, you know what, in the respect of whatever, I'm going to forgive all federal student loans. You guys are free to go.
Mercy.
The red hat is coming on because I voted the way you wanted me to vote. Now I have a person that has actually assisted my situation. Not lip service, but he actually put the pen to paper, said the little stupid statement he says, yeah, God bless America. Yeah, God bless. Signed it. In a month, I looked on the website and I have zero balance.
Free, you're done. Freedom.
That helped. He helped my situation. So my vote counted. And if he wants to go run again, I'm pressing the button. And I know a lot of people, they won't say it out loud. I'm going to say it out loud. Forgive my student loans. You have my vote. Even at the playing field, you have my vote.
Okay.
If you can increase the chances of me getting a business loan or forgiving my student loans and you helping me get ahead.
That's it.
Yes.
That's honest. I think that's very, very honest because at the end of the day, right now, a lot of us are feeling, I mean, that's all I'm seeing on social media, people feeling gypped. Every time Shade Room posts something about Sleepy Joe Biden and friends, they're just like, yo, like, this was like, we got God.
I want this job, so I'm going to be very honest with you. You know what I mean? I didn't vote. I didn't vote for anybody. I didn't vote for Kamala. I didn't vote for Joe. I didn't vote. I didn't even vote for Barack for the reelection. I kind of just peep game. Like they say, I peep game and I'm like, there's something else going on here because like I said, there was a mass movement to get these people in office, but it's never been able to trickle down to Flatlands Avenue to, Canarsie or like just to average Joe Schmoes like me. It's never been down here. And the only way it can get down here, what I need, now knowing the game plan, is access to business funding where I can start my own enterprise and actually compete in the real world or help giving me leverage off my debt, which is forgiving the federal student loans and actually allowing me to be free. Then we're good.
But do you think that the fact that the dollars aren't trickling down to Flatlands Avenue and also, you know, Nostrand Avenue as well, I got to plug myself in there. You know, the community, do you think that it's because of, is it a failure on the part of our local elected officials to make sure that the money is flowing down?
Definitely. I mean, I'm not...
You already told people you're voting for Trump, so
what?
I'm just saying, you already opened the door.
I said I would if he helped me out.
Okay.
My problem is not with the local politicians, right? You know, I don't necessarily need a speed bump on East 89th and Flatlands right now. You know what I mean? That's not going to help my situation. You know what I'm saying? And not necessarily, you know, being a teacher in urban schools, park renewals are cool too. You know what I'm saying? That's cool too. But the biggest thing right now is access to economic freedom. That's the thing. We need the dollars. And once we get the dollars, we have to allocate the dollars the right way. In order for us to do that, we have to come together as a group and make our requests be known, and also have the capital to back up our candidate. When it comes to local politicians, I'm not too sure whether, I don't know where they stand, because I don't know who's in their ear or who's supporting them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I definitely need to do a better job of paying attention to my local politics, but I need results, man. I need results. Like, a lot of people running this ticket, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But once they get into it, it's such a quagmire. There's so many things happening in local politics in general, that you kind of have to, you know, fake it till you make it. So you kind of have to get in there and play the game and do the dance, and you kind of forget about your constituents. So
I see.
I'm cool. I kind of get it. I'm cool. But okay. Free us.
I'm trying to figure out how I can amplify my voice. I have, as I had told you, signed on to many petitions to end, you know, student loan debt. You know, I'm not sitting here just talking about it. I am, you know, signing up. Now, where these petitions are going, I don't know, but I'm signing them too.
I'm signing every petition. Yeah, I'm reposting all the student loan joints. Same way they bailed out the banks, bail us out.
That's what I'm saying. And, you know, I don't know if it's because I was just naive, but a part of me did think that this would be my year, right? I mean, the way that this conversation has literally been on the forefront. I mean, I'm pretty sure other politicians have talked about, you know, Elizabeth Warren, I know, had talked about student loans and things like that. But I really thought that the way that they were pressing it this time, that there would be something, right? But I mean, I'm seeing posts that, you know, 500 billion bakone or whatever dollars have been. But I'm like, who are these recipients of this, you know, forgiveness? Because it's not anyone I know. Nobody I know has been forgiven.
Well, and that's another thing, right? Is like I said before, it can be done, and it has been done, and it's being done, right? And I think what they did was they forgave the first round or the second round of the public school loan forgiveness crew. Mm-hmm. They did that. And also know they forgave the VA loans as well. So if you was in the military, they forgave your loans and things like that. So it can be forgiven, and we need it forgiven. So I'm praying once January comes around, they just say, like, you know what, here's another extension. You know what I'm saying? Or like, just I'll take a 10K hit. Give me, you know, shave off 10K. I'll take that. Yeah.
All right. Give me something. Just give me something, you know, at least. You know,
I think. You know, when you really look back in the history books, and history tends to repeat itself, like, we always are the last person at the dance holding the cake. Like, we are always the last person there. And like, we were the ones who put it all together, and we are always neglected. I think we should really wake up and just be on some Kanye stuff, man. Real talk. Like, get free. Like, let's get off our knees and get free.
All right. So what about your girl, Kamala? Kamala, as my mother likes to call her. Kamala. You sent me that post. I'm like, listen, it was circulating all over social media. So it was hilarious. But it's another situation of the okie doke, right? Like, you know, I think the Post was talking about, you know, she got the HBCUs up in there. She got the Black Greek letter organizations because you had the AKAs and everybody else going crazy because there was a soror in the house. You know, you had all of these things. And then where is Ms. Harris? You know what I mean? Nobody, she's nowhere to be found on many issues affecting the Black community. So a lot of people felt like we got the okey-doke with her as well. I mean, like, what are your I know what your thoughts are to an extent, but I mean, that's your sister. That's your...
they my sister. No, they my... Listen, I don't know. I don't know if anybody is familiar with the great Kenneth Montgomery.
Yes.
I'm like just a big fan
of... My mentor.
Yeah, he's... Okay, dope. He is the man. Like... Highly intelligent attorney, and he's just not with the games, man. And like I think along the lines as him, where it's like there's a whole lot of representatives, but it's like empty rhetoric. And this is the same game plan since like the 60s.
Right.
There, you know, and correct, I'll say corrected, like in the 60s, some things were actually done. You know what I mean? But the only way it was done is that we came together and we all coming together, but we're voting for these people that aren't really about it.
Right.
And that's something that we need to change. If we want change, we have to learn the game. Mm-hmm. We have to learn the rules as to how to get it done. And I think what MLK was at, he found out the rules, but when he found it out, that was like, you're a little too powerful for us. We got to get ready. Mm-hmm. And I know we're recording. I'm gonna stop talking along those lines.
I don't need nobody shutting me down at the end of the day. However, next thing you know, my phone's gonna be tapped even more than it is right now.
Nah, but real rap. We need a change, man. We need a change, and we have to stop falling for the okie doke. You know what I'm saying? I think I don't complain. I just acknowledge the game.
Yeah.
That's mine right there. Let me write that down. I don't complain. I just acknowledge the game.
I like that. I might make a t-shirt out of it.
I don't complain. Just acknowledge the game. It's the game.
It definitely is the game. And I know that, as time goes on, there'll be more and more conversations where the game, you know, is at play, right? Because there's constantly something in the news. There's constantly something out there that's going to make us have to, like, you know, go back, revisit this conversation, right? So, yeah, it's definitely the game. And I think that more important, more people are getting hip to it to an extent. I don't want to say, like, woke, but I think more and more people are starting to understand that there is something larger at play here. And that what we see is not really, you know, the reality of things, right? It's kind of smoke and mirrors at the end of the day.
Exactly.
But I think that's
100%.
Important.
Yeah.
So, you know, one thing that I would say that excited me about having you, you know, potentially being a partner here is the fact that you watch Insecure.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I love Insecure. I have been, and I'm not a like just got on the bandwagon. I have been an Issa Rae since Awkward Black Girl. I've watched every single one of her. Her short films as well too, all of her series. Like, I've watched literally everything she did on YouTube, every single thing, multiple times. Right?
She's the truth. She's the truth.
Yeah, she's the truth. I was rocking with her day one, literally. Right. So when Insecure came out, I was just even more excited that there was more because, you know, she kind of like left some things hanging, in my opinion, on the YouTube world, and I'm like, what is happening? What's going on? But when Insecure came out, I was ecstatic about it. And so here we are, season 5. And, you know, it's a little more intense, right? A little more adult. And there are more and more people talking about Insecure right now. People who at first, you know, I don't know where they were coming from, but now more and more people.
Yeah. Where were you?
Right. Right. You know what I'm saying? Can we talk about season 1? Like, where were you? Exactly. But I really, really love the show, and I really hate that it's coming to an end. But the one thing I like about Issa Rae is that she is a realist to an extent, right? Things cannot last forever, right? You come in, she came in with a plan, and she knew that she was only going to have 5 seasons, which is what she said. So this season, you know, the characters are pretty much the same, but I think the storylines have definitely gotten a lot deeper. Now, I would have loved to have spoken about the recent episode, but I was informed by you that you did not watch. And I don't understand how that's possible because today is Thursday.
This week has been a very hectic week. It's a lot going on. It's the week before Thanksgiving break. I apologize. I'm gonna get on it tonight, though.
We can't have this happen.
No, never, never. I got you. It'll never happen again. I know.
But I know that you want to talk about, I guess, 2 weeks ago episode, right? That, you know, that one you watched. The one
that was the best one. That was one of the, honestly.
Because you didn't watch this week. That's why you didn't watch the
okay.
one.
Okay.
But so for those of you who don't know, you know what we're talking about. So if you don't know what we're talking about and you don't have HBO Max, because I understand a lot of you guys cut cable for a reason. You're not going to keep getting all these streaming apps. Find yourself somebody within your friend group that have HBO Max and ask them for their password. Or all you got to do is just go online, right? Go on YouTube, go online and find like what the chatter is, what people are talking about. Last two episodes ago, because, you know, I have to reference it as it was. Episode two.
Yeah.
Focused on Lawrence. Lawrence is a character that used to be Issa's love interest, right? Issa's boyfriend, Issa's, you know, partner. Not going to go into the history of Lawrence. Again, you guys need to watch it for yourselves.
I think Lawrence should get an honorable mention, though. That's just my opinion. I think, you know what I mean? Like, Lawrence is the guy.
About Lawrence, meaning that I don't think it's important to go into, like, you know, what happened with him and Issa so much. Like, that's too much backstory. You gotta watch it yourself. But, you know, Issa and Lawrence essentially broke up because Lawrence, I'll give this much backstory because it is important. Issa cheated on Lawrence. Issa cheated on Lawrence. Lawrence was hurt because they've been together for a while. You know, like they were together. They probably
he's a human being. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So he cheated. Yeah. He cheated on him. So then, you know, it took him some time. Again, I'm telling the story right. It took him some time to get out into the playing field. He didn't just jump in there. Like, he met this woman called Condola. And they ended up together in a relationship. I guess, were they actually in a relationship or they were messing around and then...
It was definitely a situationship. It felt like a relationship, but Condola just wasn't with it.
Condola wasn't with it, right? So then they end up, Lawrence realizes that, you know, he's still in love with Issa and decides that he's going to, you know, get back with Issa. Condola and Lawrence are really no more. Because Condola, I believe, was maybe a little older. It looks like she's a little older and she was divorced. I think she had a previous relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did, you know, she didn't have kids, that, you know, anything like that. But either way, she wasn't ready for it. She didn't want it. And so Lawrence ended up back with Issa. They were happy. But with every good show, there's some drama. Right. And the drama was, as you know, Lawrence is getting ready to accept this really, really great job, and Issa's doing really, really well with her new position. They're together, they're, you know, talking about the future, they're happy. Condola drops the bomb that she is pregnant with Lawrence's baby, right? Issa decides to still stay with Lawrence, but the focus with episode two is not really about that because they ended up, I think, breaking up, I think, in episode one. But the focus of episode two was the dynamic between Lawrence and Condola and this baby, right? And how he found out that she even, like, had the baby. Like, she literally, like, sent him a text or something, was, like, in labor or whatever the case is. Mm-hmm. Now, I would like to qualify that when Condola informed Lawrence that she was pregnant, Lawrence was shocked, of course, right? I mean, I'm not going to sit here and make it seem like he didn't have the right to be shocked. He was shocked. But she made it clear, listen, you know, basically do what you want. I'm going to keep this baby. Because Lawrence was not leaning toward keeping the baby. So Condola was like, you don't have to be involved. I want the baby, you know, like, I want it this time, right? Like, I want to have a baby. I'm going to keep it. You be involved how you want to be involved, but I'm good. You don't have to be involved. That was Condola's statement. So when Condola had the baby, Lawrence didn't want to be a dad, but, you know, he was still a bachelor. He was still Lawrence. He was still, you know, like he wasn't really involved. And I think that he, you know, with Condola, this is where I was like, you know what, lady, like you said to him that you don't need to be involved and you don't need to be part of this, that you got it. And so it seemed to me that she kind of expected him to be something that she didn't require him to be, if that makes sense. So she was getting frustrated at the fact that he wasn't around. And she's like, you know, I'm a full-time mom. Like, you only hear whenever you want to. And I think Kiki Palmer, who plays her sister, was like, he's popping in like an uncle. But I'm like, but Condola, you kind of set the groundwork for that. You know, you sent him a text to say, hey, baby's coming out. Like, what did you expect? So I don't know. But I mean, what are you saw it. That's the one you did see. So I mean, what were your sentiments when you watched that? Like, because it was a very telling episode. And I think that there was fault on both ends. I will say that Condola was not right in some of the ways that she approached the situation that might have led Lawrence to react and act the way that he did. But what are your thoughts on this situation?
First, great episode, important episode for a lot of people in that situation. I've never been in that situation, so I can't intelligently talk about it too much because I haven't been in that situation. So I don't really know the dynamics. Similar to what you said, I think both sides kind of played it wrong. There was definitely a shock that I think a lot of them are still dealing with. The fact that, you know, we have an extra person now, we have an extra mouth to feed, and that we have another responsibility. And it was just kind of sticky because it was like, we're not together. I am team Lawrence because he did step up to the plate and say that you know what, I want to figure this out. But I think what he messed up on is probably the communication part as well. And also I think his boys kind of failed him too. You know, his boys has been in a situation. He probably should have been chilling with the light skinned dude with the glasses. I don't know his name, but like,
I forgot his name, but Tiffany's husband.
He should be right. He should be chilling with him all the time. Just like, yo, give me the game. Like, I've never had this happen before. I say communication, and just honesty. You know what I mean? Just dealing with the situation. I think the last scene of that episode where they both got on the phone and said, "Yo, I'm sorry, I messed up." I think that was more of like the more mature approach. And I'm pretty sure, you know, as episodes go along, we'll see that relationship smooth out, because I think our people need to see that. You know what I mean? Like, right. We need to be able to see two intelligent Black people living in America with a Black baby be able to come to an agreement that, you know what, and even though we didn't work out, we're not going to let this young person fall by the wayside. You know what I'm saying? So It's all about becoming an adult. You know what I mean? Just, you know, it takes two. We both made this decision. And unfortunately, we did see a lot of miscommunication, a little bit of selfishness involved. But I think we need to see more images of people getting it right. A lot of people manning up and saying, you know what, I messed up on this. I want to get better. How can we move forward? Right. And I think that's the biggest thing anybody can ask for.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely liked how realistic, you know, they made the storyline with respect to that, because, you know, the miscommunications happen, right? The miscommunications happen in every relationship. But I think that especially where both individuals are charged with emotion, the miscommunications happen even more so. And I think that with Condola especially, it's the fact that, like, this is not really what she wanted. I think what she wanted when she told Lawrence that she was pregnant was that he was going to be just as excited and would have, like, unequivocally said, like, yes, you know, I want this baby, and maybe even let's try to work it out, right? Even though for the sake of the baby is never a reason to put a relationship together, but I think that that's what her expectation was, to an extent, with respect to this baby. And the fact that he was just like, do we really want to have this baby? Like, I don't want to, you know, this I'm not when I'm ready for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, those are real, like, that's a real life scenario where you have one person. It doesn't always have to be the man. It could even be the woman who wants to like be like, I don't want to do this. And the man that's like, no, like, I want you to have my seat. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I think that. Right.
Keith Lawrence. He's a good dude, man. Shout out to my son, Lawrence. You already know what it is.
Oh, gosh. I mean, listen,
you know Lawrence. Team Lawrence, man. You know, we step up and we get to the bag. You saw my man. He opened up the new office with his friends, had the bottle.
Yeah.
We keep it moving. Well, he was on that couch trying to figure it out.
I feel you. I think that he's a good guy, but I think that again, the miscommunication is kind of what made him seem as if he was like not really trying to be about that life. But I think that originally he didn't really want to be about that life. But then once it's like the baby is here, like there's this scene where he actually built a crib.
Yeah.
For the baby, right? So
we all do that. All men do that. We ready. What? That's what we want. That's what we do. What?
Oh God. So we do it.
We step up, but you know, when things is not nice, we gotta move, you know, the other way. You know what I mean? Like we want peace. We don't wanna yell, we wanna
Some of y'all don't want to yell. Some of y'all don't want peace. let's be, you know, some of y'all don't want peace. Some of y'all want that drama. They want to be like, yo, let me tell you about baby moms. Let me tell you what she did to me last week. Some people thrive off of that.
That's unfortunate. That's toxic.
It is toxic. It's toxic. And we should talk. I think that's something else we got to talk about at some point, right? Like there is this thriving on drama that happens to be prevalent within the community, both on the male and female side.
Yeah, I mean, I have no qualms about saying it. I'm a big Vlad TV guy. You know what I mean? I still do the World Star. I'm on Shade Room, Hollywood Unlocked. You know what I mean? Like, I know the tea. I know what's going on. I'm in tune. So I definitely do like the drama at times, but when it's in my personal life, I think I've done enough work on myself to be like, you know what? Let me think twice about the situation. Maybe I shouldn't go there. Maybe I should have never said that. Be able to apologize, acknowledge myself, check myself. And that takes the work. That's the word for the day. Are you willing to do the work? Because that's exactly what it is. The hardest thing is being able to look in the mirror and say, yo, it's your fault that things are this way. It's your fault that these things are happening this way. That's the toughest conversation you will ever have.
Speaking of that, what are your thoughts on DaBaby and Danny Lee?
You saw that?
Not only did I see it, I saw the backlash. I mean, there's so much, and this probably has to be for another episode, but there was so much commentary about what he did. And then people took it deeper. To compare, like, you know, Danny Lee to the other baby mamas who are dark-skinned women and how, you know, all of this kind of took place because DaBaby kind of preferred or put this light-skinned, you know, or non-black or whatever they're calling her on a pedestal, which is why she had, like, why she could disrespect, you know, dark-skinned women the way she did. So this brought up so many issues.
It did. It was... Listen, that it was a very triggering situation because first it happened like 3 a.m.
Right.
It was like a thing at 3 a.m. I think, you know, and second thing, I can't judge because I don't know fully the story. I wasn't there when the whole situation happened. I only know what the baby put on live and, you know, the young lady put on her Snapchat and what she did after. I think when it comes to the baby and just men, I think that whole situation could have been avoided. Listen, I got to be careful, but like I know sometimes things can kind of get a little crazy in the house or whatever. Whenever things kind of get crazy, you really, as a man, you really have to take a step back and be like, you know what? You got it. Like, I'm not even going to engage in this. Take the house. You know what I'm saying? Because if things go left, the blood is on my hands. So I'm like, yo, take the house. We out. I'm not even... You start going crazy, say whatever you want. You can say whatever you want on Snapchat, whatever. I'm out. Because if anything happens here, I'm done. And I know the baby was dealing with some other stuff too. But what I'm saying is it all comes down to character.
Mm-hmm.
Your character. Like calling her a side chick because you're hurt about it. You know what I mean? Like following her around the house, trying to put her on a live, putting it on live so that we can all see and dissect it.
Right.
It's corny. Like, we not like 13 years old. Like we, like you, you know what I mean? This isn't your first child. You know what I mean? You getting money, you a black man. Yo, where's the character? Don't put her out there. Like be a G with it. Like, yo, all right, shorty. It's all good. I'm gonna sleep in the hotel. Yo, we out, man. You got the house. Make sure homie stay by the door. You're going to be all right. I'm not arguing with you. I'm not yelling. No disrespect. I just want to make sure my daughter, my son is good. That's all. Keep it moving. That's it. Real talk. That's my attitude. You win. That's my word.
Masterclass then. Because a lot of them, you know, taking that high road and being a G about it. Like, that's not what I think some men interpret as being a G. For them, it's like, oh, I'm going to get gangster for real. I'm about to blow this whole thing up. You know, you about to be on Instagram. I mean, did you remember the major hype and situation with his
girl? That was crazy.
That
was crazy. Listen,
I tuned in.
Oh yeah. I definitely tuned in. But even with him though, he like kept it a stack. He did the live. He was like, yo, this is what happened. This
man,
is what
kept it a stack. Homeboy Avi Lee, like your homeboy, yo, receipts, yeah. like
an attorney.
Body parts. I'm looking at body parts. Like, was that revenge? Like, I'm looking at the body parts, private parts. There's an extent that you go to. Like, that was too much, though. Come on.
I can't. And this is the thing, right? I think I always tell people this: once you've been in a car accident, you never want to experience that again, right? And you kind of can tell when a car is about to get into an accident, right? You have to have the sense like, yo, I deserve better than this. This isn't normal. Like, me yelling at you, me damn near putting hands on you. This isn't cool. Like, it's not. You know what I mean? Like, I deserve better. We deserve better. We have to, like, it comes down to character. Like, keeping your head in hot situations, man. And if young people, if you're dealing with a person that's likely to, like, go off the handle when she's upset or he's upset, you got a stage left.
Yeah.
We're not talking about hundreds of dollars at stake. This is a man that was canceled and he was getting like $1 million every festival. You know what I'm saying? Now that he's kind of getting a little bit of life, this happens. I don't know how this is going to affect this bread, but at the end of the day, we got to stay focused while we're in the game. You know what I mean? And like, look at, you know, this situation could have turned left. God forbid it got physical and everything is on live. It's just no class. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, I grew up a certain way. Like, and I just see the way cats move. It's like, yo, like, my head would have got blown off if I would have pulled that move. Like, stay in your lane, bro. She wilding out, bounce. You got it. Let the bodyguard stay here for a day. At the end of the day, you got to go. But me and my team, we going to the hotel. You bugging out right now. Talk to the sister. Talk to whatever. You know what I mean? That's what I'll do. I'll bounce and I'll call the family. Be like, yo, this is what's going on. This and that. I'm not trying to deal with it. I don't know. Whatever. Keep it a G, man. Like, I don't know. Like, it's a character thing, man. Don't be like, you just gotta chill, man. Like, we gotta stay humble.
Yeah. No, people losing money. They're losing money. They're losing a lot for something that's like you said, walk away. You know, I don't know if they feel like walking away makes them like look weak, but I'm just like, say, like, at least do it for the money. Do it for your money. Do it for your endorsements. Do it for your check.
But most important, do it for your peace, man.
They're not even thinking about their peace, though. Like, they're already up here. Like,
They never had it. You know how it is just to be, like, spend a whole day, nobody text you, nobody call you, ask you for something. Or, like, just when everything is going right. And you just, like, you ever just had a moment where, like, yo, I just feel good. Things may not be the best, but, like, yo, I'm just at peace. Like, I'm cool, like. That feeling, you don't want to give that up for anybody. And that's just where I'm at. The only way I got to that feeling is by doing that work, looking in the mirror, being like, yo, you messed that up. You should never have said that. And also it comes down to being in the midst of godly counsel. You got to be in the midst of people that can, you know, set you straight. You know what I'm saying? Shameless plug. My big brother, Sam Pierre.
Oh God!
That's, you know, shout out to my platform. shout out to Saint Pierre. That's the big dog right there. You know what I mean? I know he got a lot. Listen, I know he's a very popular guy, but He sent me shade a few times. She laughed. I don't know. I don't know what that laugh is about. I don't know. I'm telling you my experience. I don't know what that laugh
is about. I'm going to plug the Godfather up in there. Is he paying you?
He's not paying you, but Hack, Haitian American Caucus, you know, we got some things coming up. You know what I'm saying? We got a few things. Hack, you know how we do. But listen, godly counsel. Somebody that you can bounce ideas off of, somebody that can set you straight, tell you what time it is. We need that. We need mentors. And I'm really big into that. That was a corny move with what the baby did. I hope they really fix it. And I hope they focus on what's the most important thing, which is the child they brought into the world.
That is true. All right. I mean, I don't even know what time it is at this point, but I feel like
you can talk for 2 hours.
Oh crap! This is a 2-hour special.
the first hour was just us talking.
Yeah, we were talking. We recorded, I guess. Hopefully, it's about an hour. But we definitely, we had like a whole conversation before this. Sorry, you guys couldn't be part of it. But we definitely talked about a lot of things today. I think that I'm leaving it up to the audience to vote, to let me know. And listen, don't go get in the caucus. Up involved trying to rig the votes. Don't be buying the votes. No.
We don't buy no votes. This is for the people. People, if you guys enjoyed it, you know what I mean? Listen, man, Miss Pierre's Black Ivy Media. I'm a big fan. And I'm here. If you want the real from just a black man living in America, a regular guy, you know what I mean? That just has a lot of friends. I do the Kwanzaa Crawl thing, you know what I mean? Like, I'm outside, I do the creepy. We can talk about that, Kwanzaa Crawl, man.
I did the Kwanzaa Crawl 1 year.
What you thought about it?
It was cool, actually. You know, as a Sagittarian who is an introverted extrovert, antisocial socialite, I like to be out when I want to be out. I want to be around people when I want to be around people. And I thought that was a good... healthy mix of people. It was festive. It was cool. It's really dope. I feel like there's a really dope crowd that comes out to those type of events.
Yeah.
It's not really too many of the uppities. It's not too many of the hoteps out there. Like, it's a good mix of like.
I totally agree. It's a great scene. You know what I mean? Just seeing a lot of young black, affluent black people from Brooklyn, Harlem, Queens, just kind of parade in the streets, drunk. You know what I mean? It's a good thing. It's a good vibe. And you just meet so many people, you know what I mean? Very familiar people you meet. Like, real talk, I think this Kwanzaa Crawl, I think KD should pop out. I'd love to see Kevin Durant at Kwanzaa Crawl. I think he should. Somebody from the Nets need to come to Kwanzaa Crawl. Somebody. They should.
If you're listening, Brooklyn Nets, deploy somebody.
KD, pop out, man. Pop out. KD got to make a few moves though, man. He like, I see him at Gersh. I see him at, you know what I mean?
I don't know.
I see him at, you know what I mean?
He's still moving into things. You know what I mean? We're still.
I'm going to take it a step further. I want KD or Harden to buy Woodlands. We open Woodlands. What's up?
Listen, but they need to buy it and open it up in a non-ratchet.
Oh, no. That's the whole point.
I mean,
it's going to be ratchet.
Because the hip hop situation that was going up in freaking Woodlands, I mean,
that was the point. You're not gonna go into Woodland and it's like
I'm looking for it to be a square space. But I mean, Woodland was cool, but I felt like there was certain nights, maybe not all the time. Because I like to go to Woodland like during, the midweek, actually. I like the vibe. I like the drinks or whatever. When I would go there for like Sunday brunch, I can't have a conversation with you.
Of course. It's a party. Yeah.
I lost my voice. Laryngitis. I couldn't do it. Also, the ratchetness that was coming, that was on the red carpet to wait in the motorcycle gangs that like just to get to. I'm like, I'm trying to eat across the street. Okay, I went to Pecan for a purpose, and I'm sitting there dealing with
it. I can't even do pecan. I remember one time I went in there, they was like, yo, we only accept cash. I'm like, yo, what you talking about?
That's the problem. Pecan was
like, only what?
They closed, though. I think they closed down for that same nonsense. Because
it's like, yo, come on, man. Like, who carries cash, bro? Like, yo, let me swipe my card, bro. What the hell? And I'm sorry. I'll be getting mad. Like, yo.
I was on some issues. We had to the ATM next door. It was a little bit.
Man, like, come on, bro.
Yeah. Like, yeah. But I'm saying, though, like, I mean.
Okay, listen, somebody from the Nets needs to go and buy Woodland, reopen it up, free the people, man. Oh, man. Can you imagine Woodlands was black owned? And Woodlands is right there. Yo, think about it. I kill in Barclays. I drop 30. After the game, I go to my club, which is on a corner, which is a block away.
Right. I mean, it would be a smart move. It would be a very smart move.
Yo, KD, man, reopen Woodlands, bro. Streets need that.
And make me, I'll even take a minor. I'll even be a minor partner. I need a majority. Minor stakeholder. 1%. I'll take 1%.
To be honest, I don't think he needs any partners. I think he can do it.
Yeah, you know, young black women, you know, minority business women, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Do it for the kids, you know? Do it for the kids.
Facts, nah. Do it for the kids, bro.
Do it for the kids. Do it for the kids. I mean, although I'm inserting myself in that category, but seriously, do it for the kids, though. Do it for the
listen,
kids.
Woodland, if you... listeners.
All right. Can we get a petition going? Can we put him on the spot?
Listeners, listen, man. If you never experienced Woodland, I know you guys heard a lot about it. It was a great place. I thoroughly...
Ratchet City.
I don't think it was ratchet. I think people were just enjoying themselves on a Saturday morning.
Oh, yes. Early Sunday morning. Brunch morning.
It was... That's another thing we should talk about. Brunch spots.
Well, you know, we have, there's a lot to talk about here, clearly, right? I think that we definitely got a lot going on. I definitely think there could be an episode talking about brunch spots because as the world is opening up, I mean, I was a bruncher, okay? At brunch every weekend.
Thousands of dollars.
My bank account will tell you.
Yeah, thousands of dollars. Thousands of dollars that I did not have.
Down the drain. And you know, us girls, like, we were brunching together, so we weren't even brunching with men that were paying our bills. We were paying our own brunch bills.
Here we go. Yeah.
Five of the mimosa.
I know.
We weren't even getting it. Nobody was paying the brunch
bills. Y'all was seven deep. You know what I mean?
Listen.
Y'all was getting the bottles.
Yes.
Yeah, y'all was at the Mad Bougie, like, oh, I'm not going to dance with nobody. I'm just here to drink or whatever. Sit in my seat. Like, I know y'all don't see y'all.
Nobody was acting bougie. I was there to eat. Let's be clear. I wasn't there to drink. I was there to eat.
You don't eat at Woodlands, bro. You eat fries at Woodlands.
On very few occasions for brunch. When I realized that I could not have a conversation with my party, we stopped going there for brunch because I was like, this was too much. Like, when me and my girls, when we go out to brunch, we like to hear the music. We do. But we're not part of the, like, club brunch. Like, if we go, we know we're not talking to each other. Like, we're going to drink and sit at the bar. We're not there to have a conversation. But if we're there to eat and partake of food together, we need to go somewhere where there's the music is a couple decibels lower so that we can have a conversation, right? That's the thing. Because I was also part of different female groups. So I didn't go to brunch every week with the same group. So it was always about a catch up. Like, let's talk. Let's see each other. Let's whatever. So when you go to Woodland, you can't even say hi.
That's the point. Like, you're there to have a party.
How are you going to the club? You're not going to brunch. You're going to the club.
Whatever you want to call it.
I'm going to daytime club. I'm going to daytime club. After Sunday school, I'm going straight to the club. That's what you should just say. Like, yo, I'm about to hit this club right quick after church.
I'm going to say this, listeners. I never did the church, then the Woodland thing. I wouldn't violate. I didn't do that. You know what I mean? But I did, you know what I mean? I was like, yo, I just couldn't make it last Sunday. But I did, you know what I mean? I was at Woodland. And it really, it'll be like, you know, like, yeah, I'm at Woodland, but Like, you don't know what's going to happen next. Like, be like, yo, there's a party here that we pop out. Be like, yo, it's a day party here. Sometimes you get home like midnight, whatever. I miss it.
Started at 12. Brunch was at 12 or 1, and you end up home at midnight. Yes.
But what do you want? What do you want us to do?
What do I want you to do?
This was a stress reliever. Like,
I mean, listen. I'm not here to judge your daytime club activities, okay?
I ate brunch. That's what I did.
You had food at the club is what you did. You had some food at the club.
I did.
The kitchen was open at the club. That's what happened.
Damn, I'm sad now. I miss it. But yo, speaking about church, we can even talk about the church then, growing up in a Haitian church, a Haitian person.
Like, that's content for days, for weeks, for months, for years, because the levels to it. And I was somebody who grew up in the church. I was, you know, not was, but still am SDA. So my church experience was even more like, then, you know, I went to SDA church. I also grew up in Sunday church. And then, you know, like, I went to church. I was church girl, like, both days. But, we could definitely get into that conversation, too. So it looks like, listeners, you see what Albin is doing here? Albin is
What I do?
No, and we could also talk about this. And we could also talk about that. He's trying to establish himself on this show
I think the people have spoken. I think they want me here. I think they want my perspective.
We gotta see what the people say, sir. We gotta wait.
I think the commissioner is here to stay, man.
We gotta see what happens. You gotta see what happens, Commissioner Boucher.
Okay. I like that. I like that.
Oh man. All right. Well, at some point we gotta wrap this up, right? Because I don't know how long this thing is rolling for. You know, we got a time stamp, but with that being said, everyone, first, Albin, thank you for being a guest on According to RP. We'll see what the people got to say about your tenure here. but I think it was really good. It was a really good conversation.
Yeah.
I had a great time. And I think that the people will enjoy the content. And it looks like, since you're giving, you know, you're foreshadowing future content here, it looks like people have things to look forward to with respect to Albin.
Let's get to it. Let's do it. I'm here to stay. The commissioner's here to stay, man. Let's do it. No, real talk. Thank you for bringing me on. This is, you know, to be honest, this is like, I've only been invited to a few podcasts. I love the movement, Black Ivy Media. And I'm a big fan and I'd love to be a part of it. Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, everyone, you heard him. You heard the commissioner himself. You know, I'm going to wait for your votes, for your DMs. Let me know what happens. But with that being said, everyone, thank you for tuning in to another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio, powered by Black Ivy Media. It's your girl, Pierre, your host. And I'll talk to you guys next week.
Peace, family.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Sunday.
Can't wait to come back.
7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
It's all online.
WJMS.